Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate covers fishing and outdoor-related activity from Knoxville, Tennessee to Abington, Virginia, all the way down to Columbia, South Carolina, and everything in between. They are a local magazine with national reach. The Angler Magazine of the Great Smoky Mountains and the Upstate is ready to take you on your adventure to the outdoors. Sunrift Adventures and Historic Travelers Rest South Carolina has been outfitting the foothills for over 37 years with the best boats, bikes, tents, and more. With great brands, Sunrift has you covered for every adventure. Stop into Sunrift Adventures' unique outdoor shop and say hello today. Go to sunrift.com for more information. That's sunrift.com. So happy to welcome our next guest to the studio. We've got Beth Willard Patton and also Tom Kenny. They are with the Foothills Conservancy of North Carolina, and welcome to both of you. Glad to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
And yeah, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, and thanks for driving up the mountain from Morganton, right? Is that where y'all came up from, Morganton?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, and so, you know, braving it up into Buncombe County, which for those that are outside the area, it's basically where Asheville's at, and Asheville's quickly taking over all of Buncombe County. So it is the metropolitan kind of center of Western North Carolina. So anytime people have to come this way, I only make them go as far as Swannanoa. I don't make them go all the way into downtown, because that can be driving Russian roulette. But thanks for being here again. And I want to start off, before we get talking about the conservancy and what you all do and everything, a chance to get to know each of you a little bit first. And so, Tom, you're the land protection director. Before we find out more about what you do, kind of want to ask you a couple of get-to-know-you questions.
Sure.
Where are you from originally, and how'd you get involved doing what you do today?
Okay, sure, Matt. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, and while I was not born there, most of my life that I know was growing up in Raleigh, North Carolina. About 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to join Foothills Conservancy, and I moved out to Morganton, North Carolina. And I think why I'm so excited to be part of Foothills Conservancy and why I love the work I do so much is just because I've always enjoyed and grew up outdoors. Even in Raleigh, which was a small city back in the 1970s, there was still plenty of forest and streams and places right next to the neighborhood for all the kids in the neighborhood to. From that, I just started exploring our parks in the area across North Carolina. I remember coming to Linville Gorge in high school and college, backpacking the Wilson Creek area. These are locations very close to Morganton and the eastern part of North Carolina. And when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life and change from a background in chemistry, I went back to school and learned GIS with a very strong interest to get into conservation work. Mm. And it worked for me, and I learned what a land trust was, what we do, and it's just been a great experience for me.
Yeah, and in that area, Linville Gorge and everything, it's such a unique area, which I'm sure we'll get into more, for North Carolina or even for the Eastern Seaboard. As very unique area and so much change in environment from one part to the other, and we'll talk about the uniqueness of that. But now, Beth, your turn. Same questions. Where are you from originally, and how'd you get involved doing what you do? You're the associate director for the Foothills Conservancy of North Carolina. Where are you from originally, and how'd you get involved doing what you do today?
Okay, I'm from Maryland originally. Grew up in Maryland. I actually grew up on a 300-acre farm, a century farm. It's been in my family for over 100 years. So I grew up very close to the land, being outside, came from a family of farmers and agriculture. So this type of work makes sense to me. It's very meaningful, and I feel super lucky that I get to do what I do every day. But yeah, I grew up in Maryland, and then I graduated from UNCW. So I just kind of migrated west.
Yeah, cover it from coast to, to the continental divide.
Traded Eastern the beach for the mountains.
Yeah. Now let's cover some, you know, just basic kind of grounds and everything about what a conservancy is and what it does. Let's start off there. I don't want to assume anybody being at certain levels of things, but for folks that are listening, what is the role of a conservancy? What does a conservancy do?
Sure. I think we can both speak to that. But a conservancy is kind of an unusual word, but we're basically just a type of nonprofit conservation organization. And a conservancy is usually locally or community-based that does their conservation work in a particular region. As all nonprofits, we, you know, were very interested in working with our communities, working with and reaching out to individuals and businesses that like what we do, that want to contribute and help support the work that we do.
Now, are conservancies focused to land purchases? Are they education programs, everything in between?
We kind of have branched out into, you know, trying to do some work that is less traditionally land trust associated. So we have a summer camp now, and we have a community engagement committee. Our summer camp has actually expanded into the school system this year. But typically when you think about a land trust, you think about an organization that, you know, like Tom said, relies 100% on the donations and charitable contributions of others, but that is focused on purchasing and protecting permanently land and water resources.
Yeah, it seems like when the general public hears about conservancies, it's when, like, okay, this acreage has been added to Hickory Nut Gorge,
right,
or, you know, the state park there now, and or it's when something that's been in private trust is transferred to a state park or to, you know, national forest or things like that. You know, so that's where people are seeing it in the press, but I know there's so much more beyond that. So today I was hoping we could get into a little bit of the beyond that.
Sure. Yeah. You we know, like sure. to talk about how, you know, the protection of those lands really relates back and connects to people, because that's what it's all about, the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Well, and one of the things that comes up on this show too a lot is, you know, of course, the conservation, the enjoyment, what it does for your physical, mental, and spiritual health and everything else. But there's also a big economic factor here in our region of the Southern Appalachians, where we live and where we broadcast from. It's a huge economic driver to have good protected lands and recreation and enjoyment and camping and hiking and fishing and all the different things that are available. So it's kind of like, it's one of those things of, like, you know, I hope that people are motivated from a place of stewardship.
Right.
But if you're motivated more by what's the job market?
The almighty dollar.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, but that is a factor as well.
$28 billion industry for North Carolina, I think, is what I just read.
And now the state has acknowledged that by creating an office for the outdoor economy, specifically focused to that.
That's right. And what we're seeing in our region, and I'm sure this is the same throughout Western North Carolina, but our state parks, our public trails, our wildlife lands, it's a lot more than just the Blue Ridge Parkway and Great Smokies National Park. When you look in every community throughout Western North Carolina, there are parks, there are trails, and we're getting more and more of them. And I think that why the work we do is so exciting and provides so much broad-based benefit, including economic benefit, is that it's what new residents and new companies are looking for when they make their decisions on where to relocate. Mm-hmm. And it's also giving longtime residents and communities opportunities to explore and get into new types of business that helps, whether it's a tour or an outfitter or a gear or clothing manufacturer or all the great craft breweries. It's just a really exciting mix of elements that come together. And what better place than Western North Carolina in the foothills with all the great outdoor places we have.
Well, and it's a circular kind of growth too, because the more there is available for folks and attracts them in, the more outdoor economy-based businesses, gear builders, and everything. There's a big manufacturing base in the Morganton area, you know, and just like a lot of tobacco farmers are now going, huh, hemp seems like a better crop. Mm-hmm. There's manufacturers going, huh, outdoor economy gear building and things like that, kayaks, and they're starting to see, you know, accessories for bikes, all those kind of things. There are more lines of outdoor economy focused manufacturing that are, you know, really creating a lot of great jobs in Western North Carolina. So the more you can attract people to grow in those industries, the more businesses there are to underwrite further conservation and programs and education. Mm-hmm. So it just, to me, it's like, if you're going to spend some time and money, boy, the outdoors is a great place to do that, because it just touches all aspects of our lives and our existence. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I wanted to get into a little bit, you know, talking about the uniqueness of the area of the foothills of North Carolina, very, very unique to anywhere else on the Eastern Seaboard. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure, I'll be glad to. What makes us unique in the foothills? Is, I think, really our watersheds and our major rivers that provide so much clean drinking water to cities, including Charlotte, and all the way to where these rivers join the Atlantic Ocean. We also have beautiful farmland, great hunting land, and then, you know, certainly the Blue Ridge Mountains that rise from the Piedmont and the foothills of North Carolina, and all the high mountains you see on the horizon just make for a great combination of features. We have the proximity to the major interstates and the large cities, mm-hmm. along the East Coast, Raleigh, Charlotte, Greenville, South Carolina, Atlanta.
Yeah, even D.C. isn't that far away.
Yeah.
That's right. And yet we have, within 10 or 15 minutes, you can be in these incredible outdoor places,
yeah.
where you don't know that. So it's really like the gateway to Western North Carolina.
Well, and you also look at, you know, for the Splunkers out there, you know, that's available in the area. Mm-hmm. The Gorge is such a unique feature, you know, for this area of the Southern Appalachians, too. It almost looks like something that should be out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, really dramatic pathways to hike. Yeah, it's like the mini Grand Canyon of the Eastern Seaboard. But one of the other things, too, about that uniqueness and everything, and speaking of out west, is it's a very different situation when you're talking about land trust, conservation and everything on the Eastern Seaboard than it is in the Western United States. In the Western United States, as expansion was going on, they're like, you know, there was already John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt had already, you know, had their interesting and fascinating collaborations and relationship, the creation of the national parks, national monuments, all these different things. And out west, there's a lot of federal lands where it was like, all right, before anything happens, we're going to go ahead and designate this. It's the opposite on the Eastern Seaboard. There was nothing that was like that. So it's a rebuild going backwards, you know, for areas that had been stripped mm-hmm. of all lumber, mm-hmm. had, you know, old growth in our area is a 100-year-old tree.
Right.
So talk about some of the unique challenges on that, because I think sometimes, you know, in our modern, everything's right here, right now, right in front of us, sometimes it's easy to forget some of the history and the fact that there were no, you know, designated lands and protected lands on the Eastern Seaboard. It was all privately owned, or the power companies or the lumber companies and everything. There was no national parks and state parks and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Matt. It wasn't until the early 1900s that, and this required the United States government, the Congress and the President to actually agree that we should have laws that would allow for public lands in the Eastern Seaboard and eastern part of the country. And you earlier mentioned land trusts or conservancies. What makes us unique and how we became instrumental is that in order to create something that is already there, lands had to be purchased or received as donations from private landowners. And the Pisgah National Forest that we have today, the Great Smoky National Park, the Blue Ridge Parkway, all involve purchases of land or donations of land to simply create these public land areas that everyone
State Park, I mean,
enjoys. Yeah.
Talk about unique.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an international biosphere, you know.
Yeah.
A remnant of the Ice Age is right here in western North Carolina. You want to see what it was like in the Ice Age? Go up to Mount Mitchell. That's a remnant from the Ice Age. It hasn't changed much.
Right.
You know, so it's important, and it's still happening all the time, you know. And so, again, the narrow timeline focus that we have in America today, it's easy to not remember or not understand that 100 years ago, that a lot of these mountains had no trees on them. You know, I mean, when you see old photos from the early 1900s, and then you look across today, it can rip your gut out. But it also, to me, and I'm an optimist, I say, oh, we'll see. If we put the right energy in and the right kind of policies and support and everything else, we can recover. I mean, our natural environment can come back. It can fight back. And so can all the animals and everything else. You know, so what are the ways that that you invite people to be involved with the Foothills Conservancy?
We have numerous ways that you can get involved with us. We have a new volunteer program that has really taken off. We had an AmeriCorps member last year that created the volunteer program, and now she has outings and trail building and all kinds of stuff throughout the year. I think about several times a month. But we also have fundraisers. We have a couple fundraisers in the fall so that you can come hang out and party with us. And then once a month we have a free outing that we offer. That's a hike or, you know, sometimes it's a trash cleanup or things like that. But yeah, so check us out. All of our events are on Facebook or on our website. So.
Yeah, and you know, let's talk a little bit about how you all look at the why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the why of supporting, you know, a conservancy or getting involved and investing time, energy, and money into our natural environment?
When you talk about what it looked like 100 years ago, it makes me think like, well, what is it going to look like? What is our area of the world going to look like 100 years from now? So to have...
Oceanfront.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't say that. To have thousands of acres protected at Lake James, in the South Mountains, at Chimney Rock. I mean, you know, knowing that that's there now and that's going to be there is, you know, somewhat settling, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you mentioned Lake James. I just have to throw this out there. My youngest son and I were out there canoeing and fishing and had a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Just glide right over the top of the canoe. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know there were bald eagles at Lake James. You know, it's so cool to see these majestic animals making a comeback here in West North Carolina. And everything from, you know, you see... Just last night alone, I mean, I saw a black bear walking along the side of the road, and then like a mile later, a red fox ran across, you know, and up another driveway.
Right.
You know, I live in a... If you look out the window of the studio here, the mountain in the background, that's where I live. You know, but it's great because 25 years ago, I didn't see as much wildlife as I even see now. But when you think about what we're talking about, what existed 100 years ago, the water quality was terrible, manufacturing industry, you know, straight piping, you know, and everything else. And when I think back to what I used to see here in Western North Carolina 25 years ago and realize that 100 years ago there weren't trees on most of these ridges,
right,
that kind of gives some perspective on why I would see so much difference just 25 years later than what I saw a quarter of a century ago, because that's a quarter of the recovery time. Of course I would see a scale slide on it. It's really, really awesome. And even now in Tennessee, they're saying, oh, Fish and Wildlife have acknowledged big cats exist in Tennessee. They've officially acknowledged the mountain lion is back in Tennessee. And I'm like, all right, if they're in Tennessee, if you've ever flown over from Tennessee to North Carolina, it's only a matter of time.
Right.
There's a lot there's a lot of natural corridors between where these mountain lions are officially acknowledged in Tennessee and Western North Carolina.
Right. You know? And reintroducing elk in Great Smokies National Park is just not an experiment. Elk and buffalo used to be throughout Western North Carolina. And
what a great
success
story
Matt, they were,
that is.
They were overhunted. They disappeared. And now there's a real opportunity to bring some of these wildlife back.
So is that part of your why on why it's important to be involved? Because, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. You even went back to school. And most people, when they get done with school, they're like, I'm done. I'm not going back there.
I think that's an important part of the why. But it's many. There's many parts of the why for me. I think it's ensuring that we always have clean drinking water. And clean streams that have healthy trout populations, healthy fish, wildlife. All the native wildlife that should be here, the fact that we can bring them back or make sure that we save enough habitat in places so that they can continue to thrive. And then I think it's about people too, all of us. We all enjoy being outdoors, so there really is, you know, there we can do it. I think land trusts and conservancies are a great example of how you can cover all these bases. You can acquire land for parks and quiet outdoor recreation uses, hunting, fishing, hiking, biking. You can help protect your drinking water. You can protect all that wildlife and those things that make our area special, and the outstanding scenery too.
Well, and to Tom's point, we're working on a project right now in Oak Hill, which is just on the outskirts of Morganton, and it's 600 acres. It's a huge opportunity for North Carolina, for our town, but along with the hiking and the biking and you know, all of the outdoor recreation benefits, there's a great opportunity for this particular tract to involve education and kids and outdoor classrooms. It's surrounded by three schools. We have the School of Science and Math coming to Morganton. We have Western Piedmont Community College. So big opportunity to sort of nurture the children, you know, get them outside, get them exposed, get them doing those things outside.
We had somebody on last week talking about nature deficiency disorder. Evidently it's a thing now. You know, but it's interesting because here we are talking about the recovery of wild areas and in Western North Carolina, but at the same time, our youth are spending less time in it.
Right.
You know, I mean, so what a weird dichotomy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, for me, you know, we were talking off air. John Muir is a big influence on me, has been for many, many years. But he would talk about, and I'm just going to summarize, Google and read some of his work. Don't take my summary of it. But that every mountain, every forest, everything, they all have life secrets they're willing to share with you. You just have to invest the time to build the relationship, and then those insights to life will be revealed to you. And it's a part of how we exist. You know, I mean, that's a really just scrape the edge kind of summary of some of the things that I took from it. But when I go into nature, I don't even have to go deep into nature. You know, I mean, I had a beautiful, tranquil, refreshing, rejuvenating canoeing trip on Lake Julian, which has a power plant, highway, development and factories around it. But there's a couple of coves that you wouldn't realize you're right in the middle of South Asheville.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about in the foothills and with, you know, with some of the lakes that they're man-made. I'll point out there aren't natural lakes in Western North Carolina. They're man-made lakes. But Lake James, or is it Rhodus?
Lake Rhodus
and Lake Hickory. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just beautiful, beautiful opportunities for people to get out there and enjoy nature and have easy access to it. But I wanted to ask each of you, you know, what is it you take away when, apart from responsibilities and life and everything, what happens for you when you get out into nature and find those quiet times? What is it that it does for you, for the sake of people listening?
Sure. It re-energizes me. It recharges my spirit, and I just feel better. You know, as much as I love my work and how busy all of our lives are these days, to me, that's part of the balance and the happiness of life. You've got to make time to connect with things that are outside you and you know, everyone's different. They connect in different ways, but I connect to outdoor wild places, our rivers, our lakes, our mountains, our forests, and even, you know, our fields and areas that just, they just make you feel better.
Yeah.
Well, I have two little kids, so I'm never alone. So if I'm outside, I've got them along with me, and it's just a recharge, I guess. And just watching them kind of learn and grow and have those experiences is just good to see. Kind of reminds me of
being a kid. One of the things for me too, and then I want to make sure you give an invite for folks to follow. Sure. But for me, it's kind of a time warp thing. There's something timeless about getting into natural areas, and it's a way I'm able to connect back to my uncles, my grandfather, my dad, their grandparents, and I think about my great-grandparents. I mean, my great-grandchildren that I don't have. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, there's a timeless little portal that happens in natural places where I feel connected to my ancestry and my posterity. You know, and
it's like less distraction. I mean, like there's so much distraction
in our lives
right now.
I just feel part of something bigger when I'm in nature. Yeah. And that humbles me. And usually creative juices get flowing too. So.
Yeah.
But I'll
good
start.
Times.
I want to go outside now. Let's leave the studio. Go grab our hiking poles. What is the best way for people to connect and build a relationship with Foothills Conservancy of North Carolina?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all the places. We have a website. The best way to kind of keep up with us, if you need like a little ping, is to sign up for our e-newsletter. And you can do that by going to foothillsconservancy.org. And a little pop-up window will blink up right away. And you can just enter your email address, and then you'll get our monthly updates that have everything from our recent land protection success stories to upcoming events and outings. So
awesome.
And a very important way to help or get involved is if you like the work we do to acquire and protect these special, beautiful, unique outdoor places, the forests, the fields, the habitats, the water, the clean water. We can't do this work without the contributions and the support of all our partners in each of our communities that we work. We're based in Morganton, but we have other communities in our region and individuals. And there's also some very important conservation funding programs that are really vital. So learn about these programs. There's one called the Clean Water Management Trust Fund, the Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. They make these great projects that you hear about in the papers or on the media possible.
Yeah. And we can't always just get on the show and talk about camping and hiking and boating and all those kind of things. We also have to talk about how we preserve and protect our lands as good stewards. And so thank you for being good stewards and for taking time to hang out with us today on the show.
Thanks for having us.
All right. There's always more conversation coming up next here on Biz Radio, so don't go anywhere.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.